Well, please open your Bibles with me to Matthew 13. And if you're using the church Bible, you'll find our text on page 979. And tonight we're going to look at verses 31 to 35. So Matthew 13 and verses 31 to 35. And as we start to reflect on Jesus' parables about growth, I wonder if we're ever set back by the thought that Christ's church in Britain appears to be so small that Christ's church in Britain appears to be almost hidden away, cast to one side. On the 28th of May 2016, The Spectator magazine published its lead article under this title. I'm going to give you a bit of a journalist voice. Britain really is ceasing to be a Christian country. Good journalist voice. And while we understand that this word Christian was being used in quite a general way, the baseline was that 44% of those interviewed said that they were Christian, so I am Christian, while 48% declared they didn't follow any religion at all. They had no interest in religion at all. Now, although the article wasn't very encouraging to read, it ended like this. We cannot count or discount, rather, the possibility of a Christian revival. It's quite balanced. The Christian faith, I quite like this, the Christian faith specializes in defying the odds. But it seems more likely that Britain will continue to muddle along as a post-Christian country with quaint customs. Some will find this sad. Others will see this as a sign of progress. But the greater majority will view all of this with complete indifference. In other words, they won't care. People generally won't care whether or not this country is believed to see itself as Christian or not. Whether the church, the true church of Christ, is growing or not. People are like, so what? I don't really care. And although the majority around us do seem to view the kingdom of heaven with complete indifference, Jesus states tonight through God's word that the kingdom of heaven will grow. Isn't that glorious? The kingdom of heaven will grow, despite the indifference and the kind of the big shrug of the shoulders that says, so what? I don't really care. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, come to earth, says, the kingdom of heaven, my kingdom, that kingdom, it will grow despite the indifference. Heaven's kingdom may seem small right now. Heaven's kingdom may seem hidden away, insignificant, out of sight. Nevertheless, Jesus declares, my kingdom, that kingdom, it will grow. By way of background, tonight's parables come at a really interesting point for us as our sermon series in the kingdom continues. As we know from last week, our text sits in the parable of the weeds, right in the middle of that parable. But rather than being a disruption, the mustard seed and the yeast highlight a really important thought for those who follow Jesus. And it's an important thought like this, because when we start to reflect on discipleship back then, and we start to think about our own discipleship today, when faith in the Lord Jesus is held against the scope and the stretch of pagan life, because pagan life is massive, is it not? People following and chasing things that are created, not the Creator. The scope and stretch of pagan worship is huge. And then when faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, both then and now, is compared and held alongside the reach and control of professional religion, so the Jewish religion of its day, with all those frowny teachers looking down on the people and burdening their lives and their hearts with lots of man-made laws, the early Christian faith, yes, it did. It looked really small. It looked really insignificant, cast away into the margins, small, hidden, and insignificant. And it's like, is it not? It's like the wheat amongst the weeds. Those little plants dwarfed and sort of hiding away amongst the weeds. That's us. We're the wheat.
and we're trying to stand and grow as we're sanctified by the Spirit, and we're trying to be seen in amongst that great big field of weeds that Paul, our brother, took us through last week. We are the wheat amongst the weeds. We might look and seem small and insignificant and in the margins. Jesus Christ says tonight, the kingdom of heaven will grow. That is glorious. That is the kind of victory speech I want to hear tonight. And I want you guys to take with you into the new week to come. Yes, his kingdom may seem small, tiny and hidden. It will grow decisively.
So, having introduced our text, let's now spend some time together looking at the detail. And as we begin to think about our mustard seed, our first heading this evening will be, Heaven's Kingdom Seems Small. Heaven's Kingdom Seems Small, verses 31 to 32. Look at verse 31 with me, please, as I read it again. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. So we've got this wonderful scene, haven't we? Jesus is teaching the people. He's teaching his disciples. The crowds are gathered around him. And Jesus tells them that the kingdom of heaven appears to be really, really small. And then Jesus points up the tiny proportions of the kingdom by comparing it to a mustard seed. Now, like many other seeds, the mustard seed is tiny, and our picture helps us to illustrate this. Can we see that there? The mustard seed, somewhere there in the palm of this person's hand. Tiny little seed. And this picture helps us to appreciate what Jesus is getting the people to see as this parable unfolds. Okay, so keeping account then of our mustard seed and its size, where does our man plant this seed? Where does he go? Does he plant it in a beautiful bowl on layers of really expensive fine linen instead of cotton wool? You'll see where I'm going with this in a minute. On that windowsill. Does he plant that seed on that linen, in that bowl, on the windowsill, under the sun, just in the same way we do with watercress? You know that thing we do on cotton wool? Great. Okay, we do that for homework sometimes, don't we? So does he go and do that with the seed? No, he doesn't. He doesn't put it in a bowl on the windowsill. He doesn't do that at all. Okay, what else might he do with it? Does he get on his ladder and go up to his flat roof and kind of carefully go across the flat roof and then find this beautiful pot under the sun? And does he pop the seed in the pot there on his flat roof and go, right, there you go, mustard seed? No, he doesn't do that either, does he? He takes that tiny little seed and he goes out to his land, his plot of land. He goes into a field and he plants that seed in the field. We can't say for sure how big this field was. There's loads of debate about how big a field was. I'd love to have shown you how big a field might have been, but everyone was in total disagreement where I went looking, so I was like, forget it. We just don't know how big the field was, but let's face it. When we look at the seed in the palm of that hand and we think about a field in general, we can say, can't we, the seed is tiny, isn't it? It looks really small. And the field, in our mind's eye, just dominates the seed, doesn't it? The seed is dominated in every way by the field that it's planted in. And in this, Jesus is saying to the crowds around him and to his disciples, those that are following him, that the kingdom of heaven on earth begins in a really humble and it begins in a really, really seemingly insignificant way. I mean, when you think about the seed being compared to the kingdom of heaven, when it's compared alongside the established powers and the authorities, the Romans, those religious professionals, the kingdom of heaven, does it not? It seems really, really small, really tiny. It seems that heaven's rule is kind of lost out there on the big field of life. We just can't see it out there, can we? Yeah, we could see it if it was in a bowl on our windowsill. We could see it perhaps if we kind of went to the pot on our flat roof in a field. Who knows? It's out there somewhere, but honestly, who knows? Where is it? However, although the mustard seed is really, really small, something truly remarkable happens to that mustard seed. Look at verse 32 with me, please. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that
the birds come and perch in its branches.
Although the mustard seed is really, really small, Jesus is telling all who are listening to him that the size of the seed must not be underestimated. It must not be dismissed, cast to one side. What Jesus wants the people to hear, what Jesus wants his disciples to see, to take in, to get and understand, is that when it grows, this little seed, it turns into the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree. It becomes a tree. That becomes a tree. It grows. And it grows in such a way that birds may come and nest in its branches. In other words, and as we look at this next slide, it becomes bigger than many other plants, shrubs or trees in the field. And what I love about this, as we take this in, as we look at that picture of the mustard seed that is grown, what I love about this is that rather than spending time talking through the different stages of growth in the mustard seed and its life, what Jesus does here is that he points to what the little seed is then enabled to do. Did we notice it? The seed becomes a tree so that's the key phrase that's telling us that there's a reason, there's an outcome for this great growth. The seed becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch or nest, or I love this, or tent. They pitch their tent. If you can imagine a bird doing that, a bird pitching its tent in the branches of the tree. Isn't that beautiful? I love the detail of this. The birds find confident rest. They find confident peace in the branches of this tree that has grown from something that is so, so small, so tiny. From a tiny seed dwarfed in the palm of a human hand and then made almost microscopic when it's placed in that big field, this little mustard seed grows bigger than the rest and performs in ways far beyond its humble origin and its humble appearance. In the early stages of Jesus' public ministry, it's true, isn't it? The kingdom of heaven, well, it would have looked really small, wouldn't it? Really tiny, almost lost on the vast field of life. Those powers and those authorities, the great pagan religions, the rule of Rome, the frowning religious professionals. The kingdom of heaven, tiny, almost didn't have a voice that could be heard, couldn't be seen, somewhere in the margins. It was dismissed. It was laughed at. The early disciples, weren't they? They were just the ragtags from just kind of about town and about life. But Jesus isn't perturbed by any of this. He's not put off for it. He's not bothered by it. In fact, he goes out of his way to state that heaven's rule on earth will begin humbly as he starts to turn lives around for the glory of God's kingdom. It will be a humble beginning. It will be small, but its growth is certain, and its growth will be extensive. And one day, Jesus is saying, the kingdom will function in full, just as it should. How does the kingdom of heaven appear to us in Britain right now? It often appears really small, doesn't it? I don't know if it's just kind of my timing, at home, TV, radio, whatever. It seems that every now and again, I always end up hearing people talking about man's wisdom in the world, where the earth has come from, where human beings have come from, what we're all going to do, where we're all going to be, how things are going to change by our power, our influence, our authority. Makes my heart ache. I used to actually phone these people up, send them texts, write letters and emails, and I just, you know what? You've got to pray for these people. Pray for them. Because everything seems to be about our wisdom and what we think. Oh, how I long to hear the voice of heaven speaking into this gloom. Well, hello, Jamie. That is you. That is us, brothers and sisters, is it not? We are the voice of heaven's kingdom. And we have a strong mandate in the name of Christ to go out there and start to find the balance again. To make that kingdom that seems so small, so marginalized, to make it heard. By the power of the Holy Spirit, is that what we want to do this week? It may cost in some way, but we've spoken a little grain of truth into this dark world, onto that field of life.
And who knows? Well, who does know? The Lord Jesus says his kingdom will grow. Do you want to be a part of that? Is that exciting? A kingdom that will grow, a victory that is sure. Yes, the kingdom of heaven does look insignificant on that big, brash, confident field of life. People do refuse to get what Jesus means, to see what he's talking about. Brother and sister, I want you guys tonight to know, don't be discouraged by the apparent size of the kingdom that we talk of. World events, national events, local events, in all their hurt and pain, they combine to make us think that heaven's kingdom is too small for this field of life out there. However, Jesus declares that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And when it grows, it will grow to be the greatest of all, bar none. Having taught the people then and his disciples that the kingdom of heaven begins in small ways, Jesus now moves on. And as he does so, he joins the parable of the mustard seed with a parable about yeast, or more accurately, a parable about leaven. If the kingdom of heaven has just been likened to a very small seed planted in a field, in other words, the kingdom of heaven seems to be tiny, so now the kingdom of heaven gets likened to a little bit of leaven in dough. Or put differently, the kingdom of heaven cannot be seen. It cannot be seen. And with this in mind, we now come to our second point, heading to heaven's kingdom seems hidden. Heaven's kingdom seems hidden. Verse 33. Look at verse 33 with me, please, as I read it. Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. So having used outdoor life to describe the way in which the kingdom of heaven grows, so having taken us into that field with the seed and then the tree and its branches and the birds perching there, having been outside, Jesus now moves us indoors in our mind's eye, and he describes a woman at work preparing some bread. And that's a really lovely scene, isn't it, as we think about that. Now, as the dough was being prepared, it was not uncommon to use a little piece of leaven that had been put to one side from the previous week's baking. So it's a great economy we've got going on here. A little bit of leaven held in reserve from last week then gets introduced to the new batch of dough that is being prepared. So taking the leaven, the person would mix and knead it with their hands, manipulate the dough and get that leaven into the dough in order to help the dough to start to rise. We can't see the leaven in the dough, can we? It blends in, it mixes in with the dough. The leaven is hidden away. But the little piece of leaven is strong enough, it's effective enough to work through all the dough. And its presence and its contact with the dough causes the dough to rise. And let's not forget the proportions that Jesus is describing to us here. The woman is kneading about how much flour? 30 kilograms of flour. A bag, a kilogram bag, about that by that. 30 of those. That's an enormous amount of flour. This is a massive bake-off, isn't it, that this woman is involved in. The leaven works effectively through the dough. And just like the parable about the mustard seed in the field, this parable also brings out the contrast between the humble lump of leaven and the big wad of dough that it is being mixed with and kneaded through. 30 kilograms of flour is a lot of kneading. I don't know if anybody makes bread in the old kind of traditional way and slapping about the dough on their worktop. You know, we've now got these machines, haven't we? And we kind of go like that. We just sort of pour it into a little box, don't we? And then shut the lid and off it goes. It's true, isn't it? I don't know what 30 kilograms of flour mixing, kneading, bashing and smashing, mixing. I don't know what that looks like, but I reckon that would hurt your arms. Wouldn't it? And your wrists and your fingers. You've got to really put some effort in there and get that leaven through the dough. This is a lot of kneading that is going on here, a lot of manipulation with the dough. And yet that little bit of leaven, that tiny bit of leaven that cannot be seen, it is powerful enough, it is effective enough to work its way through the dough. In this, Jesus is saying, despite hidden beginnings, the kingdom of heaven will be strong enough, it will be effective enough to work through the task at hand. that Jesus points us to the leaven being introduced to the dough. I love this. It's such an important thing to remember. Jesus is telling us that the leaven gets introduced to the dough. It's important that we remember this because without the leaven, the dough cannot rise at all. The dough rises as the leaven is mixed in. And that is exactly what the kingdom of heaven is all about. The kingdom of heaven may seem small. It may seem hidden, insignificant, put away. But its effect on all it truly touches, as it is introduced, as it is mixed into human life, its effect is profound. Its effect is great and glorious. And the effects of the leaven in the bread cannot be denied. The same is true for the glorious kingdom of heaven upon the lives of men, women, and young people who give themselves over to the Lord Jesus. Just as the dough rises, so the kingdom of heaven helps people to rise again with God. And with this in mind, I appeal again to any who continue to reject the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we need to listen to Jesus and get what he means. Why? Because Jesus is explaining to us the guaranteed growth and the greatness of heaven's kingdom. And as he speaks, he does so with real force from his belly. It's coming from deep within him. Heart and belly combined together with mind as well. He really means what he says. And that's going to be our final point tonight. Jesus is really serious about what he says. He's really serious as he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And that's our final heading for this evening. Jesus means what he says. These just aren't nice stories down by the lake. Jesus is pointing people. He's pointing sinners, men, women, young and old. He's pointing us to the glorious truth about his Father's kingdom in heaven, heaven's rule on earth. Jesus means what he says, verses 34 to 35. Look at those verses with me, please, as I read. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. And then this quote from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So at verse 34, then we can't get away from the fact that parables were used by Jesus on a regular basis as he taught the people about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus uses everyday things to point people to heaven's rule. He takes an everyday observation and he changes it, he shapes it, he draws out truth from it, and he uses it and he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And while we don't deny that the parables challenge us, because they do, don't they? They make us stop and think and have to work out what is our Lord saying at this point. We must also account for the truth that Jesus's parables fulfilled prophecy that was sung about him back in Psalm 78. And verse 2. That's beautiful. This was foreshadowed that Jesus, the Messiah, would speak. He would open his mouth and he would talk to the people in parables. By mentioning this, not only is Matthew demonstrating to his fellow Jews, because that's the audience he is writing for, not only is Matthew demonstrating to his fellow Jews that Jesus is the Messiah, predicted by Scripture, who would come and use parables to teach the people about their need for God's true rule in their lives. The Old Testament quote being used here by Jesus, it reveals a double determination in our Savior, the Messiah. First, where Jesus says, I will utter things. This is a lively and vivid thought that gets us to imagine, wait for it, that Jesus will belch out, figuratively speaking, right from his belly. It comes right out of him. Jesus will belch out with force and conviction everything that he has been given to say about the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that wonderful that our Savior cares so much? It comes from deep within him. He really means what he says to these people. And then the second thing, those things that Jesus will speak about, those things, Jesus says, they've been hidden since the creation of the world. That's massive, isn't it? Hidden since the creation of the world. Whatever your timeline is, that's a long time ago, isn't it? In other words, what this man called Jesus must say with force and with power from deep within him, this is no secondary stuff that he is talking about. This isn't gossip on the corner. This isn't navel fluff, bits between our toes. What Jesus is saying is from God himself. That is how serious it is. That is what Jesus is going on about here. That's why he speaks with such force and such conviction. He is so assured of his mission on behalf of the Father that these things have been hidden since the creation of the world tells us that what Jesus says, it's not found in human minds. It's not attained by our minds. Only God can reveal what God has said about the kingdom of heaven. God our Savior, on behalf of God the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, my dear brothers and sisters, what I want you to know with heaven's force from deep within is that the kingdom of heaven will grow and rise to become useful to the Lord in every way, even though it seems to be really hidden, really insignificant, almost unseen in the margins of Britain right now. Yes, first century disciples felt it. Sure they did. Because the kingdom of heaven seemed so small, seemed so insignificant. And surely, yes, 21st century disciples feel this as well. We sense this, don't we? We feel like we're in the margins. But the kingdom of heaven will grow and it will rise. Equally, I want all who reject the kingdom of heaven right now to understand the tipping point here. Using parables spoken with force, coming from deep within him, such is his conviction and his passion for the mission that his Father has given him. Using parables spoken with force, Jesus is revealing to us tonight that the kingdom of heaven will grow. It will rise. Do we get this now? It may look small and insignificant, hidden away, but it will grow. It will rise. Jesus means what he says. Isn't that good? Do not be put off by apparent insignificance now. Don't be put off by something that seems to be hidden away now. Jesus is King. Will you listen to Jesus as these parables encourage us to do so? Will you listen to Jesus? Will you try and get what he means? Ask his Spirit, show me this truth. What does it mean? Only one kingdom is going to grow, rise, function in full and last forever. No matter what we hear on our radios, read on our IT devices, see in the news, only one kingdom is going to grow and rise and last forever. The kingdom of heaven, even though it may seem really small and hidden away right now. Therefore, before it's too late, and as we finish, let all of us trust Jesus's powerful declarations. They come from deep within him. He truly means what he says to us, people. That is glorious news. Every truth we read in his word is for our edification, pointing us to salvation. Trust Jesus' powerful declarations. Why? Because they reveal the will of God unto salvation. May the kingdom of heaven be yours as this week comes. For his glory we pray and ask it. Amen.